Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the Solemnity of All Saints. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew and reflect on the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Family Life Office of the Diocese of Corpus Christi is looking for married couples who are willing to share the gift of their marriage experience with other couples who are preparing for marriage. If interested, contact Leslie Brown in the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. Doing well.
Good. We haven't had All Saints Day on a Sunday in at least
six years,
depending
years
on the leap
probably.
Days.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it comes up periodically, but when it does come up, it precedes the Sunday, so we will not be celebrating the Sunday in ordinary time, but All Saints Day today.
It's wonderful, and we have our Gospel from St. Matthew is one that many people will probably recognize.
Right. It's always read on this beautiful day.
Yeah. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to the word of St. Matthew.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we mentioned this in the beginning. These are the Beatitudes, but it's also called the Sermon on the Mount.
Right. Just a little particular there, if we've not mentioned it before, but, you know, whenever Jesus sat down in the midst of a crowd, that sitting down in his time was a position of teaching. So he sees the crowds. He goes up the mountain and, you know, these pilgrimages that I've taken and have been with some pilgrims, it's a very moving moment to go to. It's one of my favorite places to go to where Jesus pronounced the Mount of Beatitudes, they call it, because it's on the side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and it's kind of a gentle sloping mountain. So obviously these people were coming to him or knew that he was there. And so the people that were following Jesus could sit in a position like an amphitheater so that Jesus could speak toward them and the sound would carry, because obviously there's no microphones and
right. All
the equipment that we have today. But in such a way, it's like a theater where he could teach them and they could hear his teaching. So when he has this crowd with him on the mountain, he taught them these Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes, are these statements about being blessed. They are, as he obviously said, that he did not come to destroy the law, but to bring it to fulfillment. And these Beatitudes, I think, in many ways express that fulfillment, that going beyond just not doing something. I think as we had a few weeks ago, speaking of, you know, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, he takes it to the next level, we could say. And so here's what you not only should do, but who you should be. And I think what he's really reaching here is reaching into the heart of the human person and that internal formation. What does, in other words, when you appear before God, what does he look for? What is he looking for in you? And certainly the poor in spirit, those who are actually rich in spirit, but poor in spirit in the sense that their heart is directed toward God, that they don't fill themselves with earthly thoughts or desires or the consumerism, again, as we talked about a few weeks ago as well, but their heart and their spirit is really directed toward God, or the meek, the humble. It's not easy to be meek in a world like ours today. And so there's a certain effort that goes into humbling ourselves and so many others, showing mercy. You know, sometimes we want to take revenge on a certain issue or act with a person, but instead, blessed are the merciful. I bring up these things, or the peacemakers, that, you know, sometimes we, even in our homes, we'd rather create a little confusion than be a peacemaker. So, but he's saying, no, it's the peacemaker. It's these things. So I want to point out to us that, you know, the spirit of Christian life is to live the paschal mystery. In other words, that one dies and one rises, that that what creates in us an effort, a loss of what we consider of the negative, so the cross, leads to the resurrection. And that's the dynamic of the Christian life. And these Beatitudes, really, if you look at them, express that same dynamic. So, for example, as I said earlier, to be a peacemaker, when I would rather maybe be wanting to push my point of justifying myself, instead to be a peacemaker. So that costs. So there's a cross there. There's a bit of a losing, a bit of, I won't say suffering in an exclusive way, but they will be called children of God. So there's always, I'm avoiding the term, there's a payment.
Right.
But there's a return.
Right.
And this is what the Lord looks for. He looks for those who are his children, those who have shown mercy, etc. So all of these things are dynamic. It's not just something that we can read and say, I'm meek, but it's with God's grace to move toward being and having these attitudes, these spirits, the attitude of Christ in us, who was meek, who was poor in spirit, who was merciful, who was clean of heart, etc. I think, again, just looking at the clean of heart, the world that we live in is certainly a world that promotes in many ways. The world doesn't so much promote it, but I think it's very prevalent in our society. There's the whole pornography and these things that can taint the spirit of the human person, hit the passions of a person to where almost they're not sure what they're doing in getting involved and that kind of thing. And there's certainly an effort that someone has to have to be clean of heart, to move away from those things, to do what is good, to be what is pure. And so it's an effort. So there's a cross there, denying ourselves this certain activity in our world today. But on the other side of that, in doing that, we shall see God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great hope. So the Beatitudes, if you look at the lives of the saints, you can trace the Beatitudes when you look at their lives and what they're, not only what they did, but who they were and who they are for us. You can see the Beatitudes alive in them. When you look at someone like Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life for the cellmate in Auschwitz, there had to be a certain meekness in him in order to do what he did and giving up his life. Certainly, blessed are those who mourn, mourning for his cellmate, you know, that he was going to be taken and being shot, putting himself in his place. They will be comforted. So if you take any of the saints, modern and ancient saints, you'll always find these Beatitudes as kind of the hallmark of their life.
Mm-hmm. So I was looking into this a little bit, it just said that, you know, this, as you've been saying, it focuses on the inner motivations and attitudes as the core of right conduct.
Right. And of course, St. Teresa of Lisieux points out that love is the summation of all of these. So that if a person finds that love is that inner motivation, as she said, actually, without love, preachers cannot preach, prophets cannot prophesy, and, you know, parents cannot really be parents, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it sums up everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's that inner motivation, that inner attitude that one has is what these Beatitudes are all about.
You know, of course, you can't help but notice it's they all start with blessed are. So I was reading and it said the wording blessed are appears often in the Old Testament, especially in Psalms and Wisdom, and is used frequently to describe the wise who understand and follow God's teaching.
Sure, absolutely. And it's the satisfaction of a life to be blessed. I also want to point out today, of course, this is called All Saints Day. So it's not only celebrating the saints we know, which we celebrate throughout the year on their feast, but also this is All Saints. So our loved ones, we can look at in the lives of many of our parents, grandparents, children, and you can find some of these. And what encourages me in the church today is the discovery of some young people who are saints. Of course, if they were alive today, they'd be 50 years old, so right. Which means, though, they haven't been gone that long. But they died as teenagers, and some of them with heroic deaths through cancer or other illnesses. But in that journey of that illness, they discovered the beauty of being merciful toward those around them, or being meek and humble, being pure of heart, seeking God. In their struggles. And so it took an effort to do that. I'm thinking of one who's a young Italian teenager who was fighting cancer. Chiara Luce is her name. And she really lived the Beatitudes in those final years after she discovered she had cancer. And these are the people that the church wants to focus on. But I think today, as we celebrate Mass, as we come together as a community, we should look at the saints among us as well. And that's what this day is all about. People we've known in the parish and our families, and to recognize the beauty of their life and to take note of that as an example for ourselves and to see the peace and the joy that they may have had in their life, even at the end, because they were living the life that Jesus wanted them to live. And so let's remember them, especially those who may have died during the past year, since the last Feast of All Saints, that we may recognize their holiness and the gift of their beauty of their life in our own.
Definitely. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and reflect on the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Quality Catholic books, religious gifts, framed art, and so much more are available at the OLCC bookstore on the grounds of Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana. You know where it is, near the intersection of Interstate 37 and North Padre Allen Drive, where you see the church with the blue dome. Just drive onto the property and follow the signs that lead you to religious books, statuary, rosaries, religious articles, framed art, crucifixes, and more. The new store hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. The new direct line phone number is 361-289-0807.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in November, and so we will reflect on the Word of Life for November, which is a wonderful passage from St. John.
Right. And just a reminder, you know, the Word of Life that we speak of every month is really a way for any of us to just take one sentence of the Scripture, of the Gospels, and to try to make them real in our life, to put them into real situations during the month. So not only to reflect on them, to pray over them, but to really take that as kind of the guiding post or the guiding word for the month in every situation. And I think this one is certainly in a divided world and divided families and in work and so many, wherever there's tension, I think the words of the commentary on this one sentence could really help all of us to create a new unity in so many areas of society and life. So, and these, the sentence and the commentary that I'm about to read, they are posted on the Diocesan Telecommunication website. So you're able to go there, download it, and have it in your possession so that you can reflect on it throughout the month. So the sentence that we'll be reflecting on and trying to live, putting into concrete action during November, is that they may all be one, from John 17, verse 21. In this, his last prayer, Jesus knew he was asking what was closest to the Father's heart. God had created us humans as his family, gave us every good thing, even sharing his own divine life. What do all parents dream for their children if not that they should care for one another, help one another, live united to one another? And what saddens them more than seeing their children divided by jealousy or money matters, even to the point of not speaking to one another? God, too, has dreamt from all eternity of a family of his own living united as children in a communion of love with him and with one another. The Bible's dramatic story of our origins speaks to us of sin and of progressive breaking up of the human family. In the book of Genesis, the first man blamed his wife. Their son Cain killed his own brother. Lamech boasted about killing a man who hit him. Babel caused confusion and the separation of peoples. God's project looked like a failure. Nonetheless, God did not give up, but remained determined to unite his family. The story begins again with Noah, with the choice of Abraham, and with the birth of the chosen people. And so it goes on, to the point of sending his son to earth with a great mission, to gather into one family his scattered children, to gather lost sinners into a single fold, to break down walls of separation and hostility among peoples, to create one new family. God does not cease to dream of unity, and for this reason Jesus asks him for it as the greatest gift for all of us. Father, I pray that they may all be one in us. All family members resemble their parents. So too do the members of God's family. God is love, not only because he loves what he creates, but he is love in himself, in the mutual giving and communion lived out by each of the three divine persons with the others. Therefore, when God created the human race in his image and likeness, he impressed upon it the same capacity for relationship so that every person might live in mutual self-giving. A more complete selection of the prayer of Jesus says, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us. The model of our unity is nothing less than the unity that exists between the Father and Jesus. This is so profound that it seems impossible. It is, however, made possible by that, quote, as, which also means because. We can be united as the Father and Jesus are united because they draw us into their own unity. They give it to us as a gift, that they may all be one. This is precisely the work of Jesus, making all of us one, and he is with the Father, one single family, one people. To do this, he made himself one of us, took upon himself all our divisions and our sins, nailing them to the cross. He himself pointed out the way he would bring us to unity. Quote, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." End quote. As the high priest, he prophesied he had to die to gather into one the dispersed children of God. In his mystery of death and resurrection, he has gathered up all things into himself, has recreated the unity broken by sin, has remade the family around the Father, and has made us again brothers and sisters. He has completed his mission. What is left now is our part, our participation, our yes to his prayer that they may all be one. How can we help to fulfill this prayer of Jesus? First, we have to make it our own. We can offer our lips and heart to Jesus so that he can continue speaking these words to the Father, and with trust, we can repeat his prayer every day. Unity is a gift from above, to be asked for with faith, without ever giving up. Moreover, unity must be constantly at the forefront of our thoughts and our desires. If this is God's dream, we want it to be ours as well. Before every decision, every action, we can ask ourselves, does this help build unity? Is it the best way to bring about unity? And finally, we ought to run to wherever disunity is most evident and take it upon ourselves as Jesus did. There may be friction in our families or among peoples we know, tensions in our neighborhood, disagreement at work, in the parish, among the churches. We should never shy away from dissensions and misunderstandings, never be indifferent, but bring our love, a love that involves listening with close attention to the other person, sharing in the pain caused by their open wounds. And above all, live in unity with whoever is open to sharing Jesus' ideal and prayer without giving any weight to our misunderstandings and opposing ideas. But be content with, quote, what is less perfect in unity rather than what is more perfect in disunity. Accepting the differences with joy, indeed considering them valuable for making sure our unity is never reduced to uniformity. Yes, at times this will put us on the cross, but isn't that precisely the way Jesus chose to restore the unity of the human family, and the way we too want to walk with him?
Well, you know, he definitely gave us some action steps as to how we can ask questions in regards to unity.
Right. I mean, I think it was very clear, you know, when he was saying that if we really want unity, that it really has to be at the forefront of our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one way, and as I was reading it, I thought, you know, this is something I could do, especially during the month, is with every encounter, with every action, with everything that we do, whether writing a letter or speaking to someone, or is this helping to create unity? Or is my tactic or methodology or my words going to create more disunity?
Right.
Which could be that I feel I'm right, and so I'm just going to say it, but it's going to harm the relationship with this person or with this group. And I would just say, Barbara, you know, and I would say this to everybody, that I have found, at least over the last year, that that it's the aspect of listening. We don't listen enough. We talk a lot. We don't listen. And if you want to put people on your side, in other words, to create a unity and a bond in Jesus, is to listen to them. I had a meeting not too long ago, and it was, you know, in my mind, I thought it could be conflictual, but I determined to go in just to listen. And it gave everybody the freedom to say what they wanted to say, and then to be able to respond to that. And it was a beautiful meeting. And I think this is what we're called to be apostles of unity.
Right.
To not think that it's going to happen by the magical wand or some just one prayer, but we're all agents of either unity or disunity. And so I think for this month of November, the month of All Saints, we could do our part in trying to be those saints by being agents of unity and doing that simply by that desire that all may be one as God the Father wants, and doing that by listening.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for those examples, Bishop. If you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.